Today, our people can see that we're faced with a government conspiracy. This government has failed us. The senators who are filibustering concerning your and my rights, that's the government. Don't say it, Southern senators. This is the government. This is a government filibuster. It's not a segregationist filibuster. It's a government filibuster. Any kind of activity that takes place on the
Yeah, what's up? We're True Puff Podcast back. It's your boy D.U.B. with the homie Kyle. What's up, baby?
Yeah, what's up with it, man?
Hey, man. Chilling. You been doing all right, man?
Hell no, I ain't been doing all right. I want to give a shout out to Jeremy Hill. I want to give a shout out to Jeremy Hill for fucking up my fantasy team this week, and I'm on a 3-game losing streak. And fuck Jeremy Hill.
Yeah, man. I got my ass whooped too. There's too many players for me to say fuck it too. Cause everybody whooped my ass. Yeah, man. I ain't on a losing streak, but I got my ass. I'll say.
I started off 2-0. I only lost the last three because the crazy shit always happens.
Now, if it makes any of y'all feel better, I'm 4-1.
Fuck you.
Everybody ask you, is your 4-1 ass?
For real, man, I can't believe this shit. I put this fool in. He first of all, he don't even start. And then when he finally get in, he won't have a chest injury and get 1 point. You get your weak ass out of here. Julio ain't do nothing. My whole team, it was just a bad week, man.
Yeah, man. Every time I play somebody, including you, they have a good game. You know I win. Even though I've been winning, except this week, they get the highest points in the whole league. Like, everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, it never fails. Dude, I'm playing against, got 150-some points right now, and I got 90. He got the highest points.
Yeah, I seen, man. He went off.
Yeah, man. It's like, damn. I can't even catch a break at all. I only have a chance. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't have enough points on my whole damn team to beat him. He had people on his bench. He had players on his bench scoring 30 points. I was like, really, man? Like, really? You know? Like, he the Cowboys or something. I don't know what's going on with them. They ain't winning.
They killed the Bengals.
That was highly unexpected. That was the best team they played so far, too. Bengals didn't show up, though, man. I ain't hating the Cowboys. I ain't no fan, but the Bengals just didn't show up in the whole game. Like, I didn't understand what was going on with that shit, like, at all.
I'm still not really, like, all that impressed, man, with Ezekiel Elliott, man. Like, I mean, he getting the yards, but, like, them holes, his offensive line, yo, like Bengals. They just mauled the Bengals' defensive line, man. Like, anybody could have ran through them holes he had.
Yeah, so,
I mean, he got the stats, but, I mean, I ain't that impressed with him yet.
I mean, you don't quarterback to not throw a pick. That's pretty good stat, you know. And their defense was getting after Andy Dalton pretty good. So, they wasn't
– Yeah, it was rough.
Cincinnati line got whooped on both sides of the ball. So if you get whooped on both sides of the ball, you're going to get blew out. You know, they finally got it together towards the end, but it was too late. You know.
And they got a damn good defensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if they play again, it'd be different. Of course,
they play Green Bay next week, so we'll see how that goes.
They're going to be on the road.
Hey, I don't know if they're at Lambeau or not.
Take them on the road. They got their hands full.
If they beat Green Bay, I know something.
But you know.
It might be that year. It might just be that year, man. I don't like the Cowboys. I can't stand the Cowboys. But, you know, fact is, they seem to have a better defense than what I expected. And Prescott is playing way better than my expectations. I thought he'd be, you know, average. Yeah, I thought he'd be average at best, man, but he carving them up.
Yeah, he almost as good as Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz cold too. They should have won.
Yeah.
They lost by 1 point though, so it's all good.
He threw his first pick yesterday. That's why they lost towards the end when they made their comeback, by the way, but it's all good.
He got more on his shoulders though than Prescott right now. You know, Prescott got that offensive line and that running game.
Yeah, but he ain't got this though.
True. But I'm just saying, like, Wentz ain't really got no running game really to lean on. So it's a little bit harder for him. But Prescott's still balling, you know what I'm saying? I'll take either one of them right now.
Yeah. We got a good one tonight, Monday Night Football in Carolina. We got the Buccaneers and the Panthers tied up with 5.5 left in the fourth, 14-14. Last Thursday, the start of the week, Cardinals beat the Niners 33-21. Blaine Gabbert stuck up the joint. Do you think they're going to put Kaepernick again, man? Be real.
I think so. I think they're going.
I hope so.
I think they'll put him in. He's going to be on a short leash. From what I was listening to earlier, they said it's kind of split right now between Kaepernick and Christian Ponder.
Really?
They said a lot of the team, it's like split down the middle as far as like some of the teammates want to see Christian Ponder play and some of them want to see Kaepernick play. But Blaine Gabbert is playing regardless, so it don't matter.
That's kind of weak to me, man. Whatever.
I mean, you know, some of it might be because you know his stance he's making, but some of it might be they actually think Christian Ponder the better quarterback.
I don't see how. Anyway, this dude is stuck though, man. I don't understand. He's just horrible. Anyway,
I think Kaepernick in that system, man, I think he's going to do good, man. I think if they give him a first shot in Chip Kelly's system, then I think it'll be all right.
Well, we know that ain't happening yet. Anyways, Brady came back, threw over 400 yards, 3-4 touchdowns. They beat Cleveland on the road, 33-13. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I think everybody knew that was going to happen.
The Eagles lost to the Lions by 1 point on the road and a heartbreaker. The Bears lost to the Colts 23-29. Tennessee got them a victory against Miami on the road 30-17. The Redskins beat the Ravens 16-10. The Vikings remain the last undefeated team in the NFL. Right now, 5-0, as they dominated the Texans 31-13. First time Minnesota's been undefeated 5-0 since 2009. Back when they had Randy Moss. The Steelers knocked off the Jets 31-13. The Falcons surprisingly stunned the Broncos at home 23-16. Falcons continue to roll. The Cowboys defeat the Bengals 28-14. The Bills overcome the Rams 30-19. The Raiders beat the Chargers 34-31 in a close one. And the Giants lose to Green Bay at Lambeau 16-23. Yeah, man, back to Kaepernick. Football-wise, he was thriving in that system. he's one of the reasons why Chip Kelly chose that position, in my opinion. But he caught everybody off guard with his protest, and it threw everybody through a loophole. And I'm pretty sure Chip Kelly doesn't approve, if you consider the people who don't approve of his protest are older white males. So I have no proof of this, but my theory is that Chip Kelly doesn't approve of it either, considering he came from college where boys act like boys and do not exercise their rights to such type of activity on the football field. I know he doesn't like it, so I'm pretty sure he doesn't have a positive relationship with Kaepernick anyway. So, of course, he's not going to be in a hurry to put Kaepernick in. So, I think once he does get in and gets to shine, it'll be undeniable that he's the man for the job for this offense. Because all it takes is that one win, and that's the ultimate medicine. You know.
I disagree with that position. Like, I honestly don't think it's Chip Kelly that has a problem with the whole position that, you know what I'm saying, Kaepernick take it. I think they forcing Chip Kelly hand, or they was forcing it a lot more, you know, earlier, and hoping to blame Gabbert to catch fire. But, you know, ultimately Chip Kelly don't want to get fired either. You know what I'm saying? Chip Kelly knows that Kaepernick is the best quarterback for that system. So I think it's, you know, came up from above to not let Kaepernick play because they want to get rid of him at the end of the season so they can, you know, do away with all of the somewhat distraction that they want to say that he's causing. So I don't think it's on Chip Kelly, man, because at the end of the day, you know, you're a coach, you want to win, and if you can't win, you won't get fired. And it's going to be a second stop, you know, in the NFL or a second team, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, he's going to be on his way to college. It's just going to work out pretty quick. I'm pretty sure he wants to prove out that his system works. So that's why, you know, I don't think Chip Kelly the one holding him back. I think it's coming from you know, general manager, owner, sponsors, stuff like that, and they forcing Chip Kelly in.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he keep coming up with excuses saying that he not looking good in practice and blah blah blah. I'm like, oh, man. But if Blaine Gabbert doing so good in practice, then obviously he needs to be a backup because only backups look good in practice and not in the game like the way he does. You know, so you got three options over there at quarterback. Right now, you're going with the worst one possible. It's just common. It's pretty much common sense. You know what I mean? I would have benched Blaine Gabbert in the second half of the last game, honestly. But that's just me. Anywho, Birth of a Nation, new film written and starring actor Nate Parker hit theaters this week. And we're not going to get into it too much because, Kyle, have you seen it yet, Kyle?
I've not seen it. I wanted to see it on Saturday. Stuff came up.
So all right. So
I'm going to make sure I see it on this weekend, 100% that I see it. It's only in select theaters. The theaters I normally go to wasn't playing it. So I had to find another theater, and then the time couldn't match up with my schedule. So I'm going to make sure that I see it this weekend.
Yeah, man. We ain't going to get into it too much yet. We're going to wait till Kyle see it. Then we're going to get back at you. But I'm telling you right now, I've seen it. Ceddy J seen it. And I don't know what Ceddy J reviews are, but my reviews are, I give it 2 thumbs up. And even though it's a slave film, it's more than a slave film. You know, a lot of people, you know, say they're tired of slave movies. And I agree, but this is a story that needed to be told in a proper way. You know, it's required viewing, in my opinion. And it was nice to see an actual movie depicted around slavery that didn't show any
guiding white light as a symbol of hope to make it seem like, oh, well, such and such helped them, and this is, you know, that's not how it went. You know, it's a million slave stories that don't involve white people helping us, and Nat Turner was one of them. You know, like, they only picked a certain few where the white man has a change of heart and nothing to lose and decides to throw us a bone. Like, that's not this average slave movie. You know, you can keep that. You know, Django was good, but Django was owned by the white dude, and he said, look, if you help me kill people, then I can give you your freedom. Like, nah, man. Nat Turner took what was rightfully his, even if it only lasted for a brief period. And that's something that can't go without being told throughout history. Now, back to, say, you got anything you want to add about the movie? Real quick.
Yeah, I do, man. Again, I second your notion. Thumbs up on it. I mean, some people, one of the big reasons why some of you might not go watch is because they feel like, oh, that's old stuff. No, it's stuff that connects to today because, for instance, one of the things I took from it was it's one thing if you know about your Bible, but if you don't read, but you can tell who don't read through it all the way. Because just like how they were, you know, one thing that was prevalent throughout the movie was they were trying to make this man not read all the stuff that where it pretty much oppresses people instead of lifting them up to, and they were basically, you know, exploiting this man to do that. And the hell right. People did to me. I lose my damn mind too. So
yeah.
And to me, like, it makes me think, like, are some of these preachers out there doing the same thing?
I know y'all.
And I haven't seen it yet, like we just talked about. But which is, you know, one reason why I'm somewhat, I take the stances, and we ain't got to get all deep into it by why, but it's a reason why I take certain stances on religion. It's because of things like that. You know, a lot of that stuff was introduced to our people in falsehood and then in different ways to corrupt our people's minds. And that's just kind of why I take some of the positions that I take on religion itself.
Yeah. But we ain't gonna dwell in it this week. It'll be our topic for next week once Kyle's seen it, and we can really get into it because I don't want to give away spoilers to the movie. You know, even though he knows the story,
I got a question before we move on from it, though. Like, since y'all two seen it or whatever, and I haven't seen it yet, what do y'all think? I read a couple of articles where they said the movie flopped, and a lot of, I guess, just from the numbers, like, black people haven't been supporting the movie.
I can jump right off the back. I got something to prove that point. I can actually prove the point because, dude, I just came from the movie because I literally just came from the movies before I came in the show. And half the people were not even black that were at the movies. When I first got there, it was two white. It was a white family sitting right there watching the movie.
Yeah.
And then I saw the kids come on. I was like, what? What the heck is going on?
Yeah, I saw it the first day it was released. I saw it on the 7th, and it wasn't no white people in there in my theater. It wasn't any white people. It was all black, but it wasn't a sold out. You know, It was a couple standing ovations. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty good. Like, the one brother behind me, he was into it. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't hear him talking. You got a little kind of funny.
You had some of those people.
He was into it. You know, like, really into it. You know.
Oh, I kind of was too. I was laughing. as some of the when he was off snapping back at some of them crackers, I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah, man, it's a trip, man. But as far as flopping, Nate Parker already sold the movie for $17 million. I mean, they are the investors who made the movie itself. The movie is already in the black, he said. So I'm not, you know, that's a good thing. So obviously somebody saw some good in the movie. Now,
but don't you think? But you don't feel a way that it's not. If it like, you know, like, cause I think I want to say Kevin Hart come out in about a week or two. So what if Kevin Hart just like triples whatever, you know, Birth of a Nation had? Like, would you feel a type of way about that, or you just kind of
because it's like this. I mean, from a marketing standpoint, Birth of a Nation is like historical and it's required viewing by everyone, not just black people, but everyone. It's a necessary story to learn historically. You know what I'm saying? Because it's been a lot of miscues and stuff. But as far as I think it's just the timing, man. You know, black people look at it as like they see the commercial, and a lot of people don't even know who Nat Turner is. And today, which is sad. So they see this movie and assume, oh, it's another slave movie. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand the history of Nat, so they don't even know who Nat Turner is. So when they see this commercial and they hear about it, oh, it's just another slave movie. I ain't going to see that crap, man. I'm flaring that. I see this enough on Facebook. You know what I mean? It's just timing. You know, black people are kind of tapped out, which is understandable on slave movies. So they're not going to hurry up and run and go see it like us, because we know the history of Nat Turner and we know how important this movie is.
Yeah.
And we get excited because we, like you said, you did a paper about Nat Turner when you was 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I know people right now in their 30s who don't know who Nat Turner was. So they're not going to get excited to go see this movie like we are. You know what I'm saying? That's why the success has been limited by our standards. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of white folks' standards. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be lines outside, like straight out of Compton, and you know, because they think this movie's already been done before. Like every 7 months we get a slave. That's not the case with Nat Turner, though. The movie itself.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It was slavery in it, but to me it didn't really feel like a slave movie.
Yeah, it wasn't like 12 years of slave. Like you'll see, like that's why I said we can't get it. I don't want to get into it too much.
Yeah, I want
you
to get it. Cause I kind of want his opinion too. That's why I'm like, I kind of intrigued to see what he think about it too.
Because it's not really you know, it's more than just a slave movie, people. You know what I'm saying? It's a battle movie. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like a black Braveheart, like you said. It's a story that's never really been told on film the right way. So it's pretty interesting to watch, you know.
And I need people that ain't seen the movie to stop lying about the movie, running around saying, oh, they raping everybody in the movie. Like, please stop lying about the movie. Good God. Like, that's part of the problem.
Another thing, man, like, I noticed is, like, you know, like, let's say this type of particular movie, like, I feel like black, not all, but, you know, I feel like a lot of black people will be ashamed to say they went to go see the movie, because it's not your average slave movie. You know, from everything I've read and just know about Nat Turner himself and then listening to YouTube, you know, it's a movie that's not your regular, you know, slavery, just getting beat up and stuff like that, and wealth and change. It's more about, you know, the history that they don't want us to know, and about, you know, how you know, several slaves attempted to take matters into their own hands. And that's not a narrative that a lot of Caucasian people want us to embrace. And issues like that, like, we never seem to have unity or, you know, want to be proud of stuff like that. Like, I haven't heard a lot of black people, like, when black movies come out, you normally hear it, or you hear people ask you, have you seen this, or this was funny, or, you know, you just get that kind of feedback. But I haven't heard anything. It's like, even if you do see it, a lot of black people keep it under wraps because they don't want to start any controversy.
You mean black people, like famous black people, or what?
Yeah, just like you know, if like when, like I was saying again, like when Kevin Hart movie come out, or you know N.W.A. come out, you know, you normally hear that buzz and you hear people talking about it. And,
yeah, that's how I felt too about it.
I haven't heard anybody really say anything about it, about the movies. I'm saying just out in the public, like out in the real world. I heard like the shows here and there and stuff like that.
They always give you a nonchalant answer too. They be like, "Oh, you went to the movies. What you see? Word for a Nation. Oh, okay." Like that be the response they give you in person. You be like, "You not excited?" And you, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, man. Like the Coon gene is getting stronger, my brothers. It compels a lot of our people to deny and withhold emotion for something that you would think should bring them joy and satisfaction, but that inner coon won't let them get so happy because they don't want to send the wrong message upstairs and cut their money short. Just like I was watching Monday Night Football today, and I was in every game now. They got somebody black singing the national anthem. You know, usually, you know, yeah, it's like okay, now, black people who sing the national anthem before Colin Kaepernick's protest and stuff, but they usually mix it up. You know, they usually have a couple brothers singing it a couple weeks. Then after that, they have Kenny G playing on his horn, some corny stuff. You know, somebody, you know, who Green Day. Somebody white and single, I don't know. They had them singing. But now they got R&B soul singers, Sister Sledge. I ain't heard from her in 30 years. They getting checks to sing. Like really, they digging out every black artist they can get to sing this anthem now. So yeah, this strong. I'm not saying that she's a coon for singing it, you know, ain't this nobody who sing that. Hey, we ain't gonna go there. I don't know somebody hard, but it's easier to get them. It's easier to find black people to see their point of view than it's easier to find white people to see our point of view. That's all I'm saying.
You know what reminds me of, Doug? It reminds me of like when you watch a slave movie and they always get the black person that wanted the slave to come play the violin. Hey, play that damn fiddle for me, boy. So that's how I feel every time I see all these black folks singing the anthem.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like Roots. Forest Whitaker. That's fillers. Got a lot of fillers. Yeah, it's fillers. It's a lot of filler niggas out here, man. Can't get no show. Rick, dude. Gotta sing this bullshit.
But why did you even sing it, though?
Shit, that Red Duke Hop was changing me. This shit, Red Duke.
Oh, shit. I watched one of the first ones they televised, you know, when Kaepernick was, when he first kind of started up and it started getting the national attention, and they had this brother up there. He got on his little uniform with his little sailor hat on, and I'm just like, man, you look like a goddamn fool out here, man. You know damn well you being used.
That's my fish out there. But in LA, the LA Rams game, they had my boy, man, CeeLo Green. He was singing it. I like CeeLo.
Get the hell out of here, man. Don't nobody want no goddamn CeeLo Green singing the anthem.
Yeah, wait a minute. In defense of CeeLo. This is early in the season. It's still early, but this is like way early. So he could be scheduled before they even realized Kaepernick was going to protest. I'm talking about like week 5 now, and like I'm talking about like nowish and on in the future, you gonna have all type of black people coming out of nowhere that you ain't seen do no shows in a while singing that damn anthem. Next week at the Cowboy game, they supposed to be having old boy sing the national anthem. Shit, the dude that sung the Reading Rainbow song.
No.
No, man. They supposed to have Tevin Campbell sing.
So Jerry Tevin Jones don't let that shit happen.
Yeah, Tevin Campbell gonna sing national anthem. Huh?
When last time you heard for something for her a seated performance I heard from Tevin Campbell? Good God.
Yeah, Tevin Campbell. That ain't true. I'm just making up shit. That was just bullshit.
But see why you playing. Somebody that's just short now going to book it right now. You know what? That might be a nigga we need.
Yeah, but it's halftime for us. Who y'all got the song of the week? And when we come back, we gonna get into the real stuff for the day.
Alright, so song of the week, I got a track from the Birth of a Nation soundtrack actually. Shout out to Vertigo for sending me this track over. This is by The Game and Marshall Ambrosius. This is called Sins of Our Fathers.
Sins of Our Fathers. Forgive me, and after all I gave, you stole my name and took away from me. Oh, founding father, what have you gave to me? I've been a victim of a broken home, you stole away from me. Sins of a father. Of our fathers.
I could hit you with the yes, fathers. Master. Motisa, a rocket close the box on your ass like cold pizza. Whips and chains, brain gone, mind in shackles. Cam Newton, a Black Panther, hard to tackle. Mix the moonshine with the Snapple. The White House, a plantation, but they teaching our kids it's a castle. Built by slaves, my guilt by trade. The maid, lab rats picking cotton inside invisible pages. House nigga, he hate us more than the master. Burn his own church and smile in the face of the pastor. The last days, drinking our own sweat in the field. Either kneel or you get your ass killed.
Sins of our fathers, Father, forgive me. And after all the gave, you stole my name and took away from me. Oh, founding father, what have you gave to me? I've been a victim of a broken home, you stole it away from me. Sins of our fathers.
They gave my great-great-grandfather lashes cause he stole a fucking horse. Now 500 horsepower in my motherfucking Porsche. As I light my torch on this Mississippi porch, let the Mississippi River shatter windows on my fort. Corpse this is, of course this is genocide. I'm in the same church where little kids and women died. I can hear the voices, ropes around throats. Separated our families as they stacked us on them boats. Choke. As your legs shake, you start to lose hope, wishing the branch break, but nope. Soon as your neck snaps, they start laughing and taking pictures. Cause to them, you ain't nothing but a motherfucking nigga. 500 years later, I'm in the club. Chain on my neck, Harriet Tubman on the dub. Ben Franklin on the 100, Hamilton on the 10. Even in death, she's still surrounded by white men.
Sins of our fathers, forgive me. After all the gay, you stole my name and took away from me. Oh, founding father, what have you gave to me? I've been a victim of a broken home, you stole it away from me. Sins of a father. Sins of a father.
Father. Yeah, I like that track, my sins of my fathers. You know,
yeah, I'm gonna have to go buy me a shirt, man, when I go watch this movie. Fuck.
Yeah, I got my Kaepernick jersey on deck. I'm wearing that everywhere I see white people. I know they gonna get offended when they see that. But anyway, that was a nice track. Sins of my fathers. I'm gonna put that on my playlist. But this week we got more required viewing besides Birth of a Nation. Netflix released a new documentary called 13th, created by the same person that created Selma. It talks about the 13th Amendment and how slavery was transferred from, how slavery basically wasn't abolished, like they say, it was just transferred to the prison industry, and how each year ever since we were free, how each year it breaks down systematically, how black people in the South were tortured and withheld civil rights as humans because we were no longer officially slaves, how they could keep us in prison since slavery was legal in prison. So the more people actually in prison of color right now than it was in bondage in slavery in the 1850s, you know. So technically, we have more slaves today than we did in the 1850s. If you wrap your head around that concept, it kind of make your stomach hurt. Now, one thing I got from this documentary is that It has a section where each president with each president is sworn in, and it basically shows you a bill where they sign, and it shows you the thumbprint that each president we've had in the past 20 years has contributed to the mass incarceration of people of color over the years, to basically put money in their pockets or in their corporation's pockets that sponsor them deliberately to hold us back. Now, this would be a great film to watch for white people and the Negroes that say slavery doesn't exist. They haven't seen it anywhere in their lifetime. You will see it in this documentary, and it's support, and it will be backed by facts. And it has secret phone calls on, like, Donald Trump, which states that these people know who these laws affect. It talks about who makes the laws, who is responsible for these laws, why they're doing it, the corporations that's putting their money in the pot to fund the people that's making these laws. Well, they're benefiting off the facts, benefiting off the backs of the people enslaved in prison, and it's all one big cycle. You know what I mean? It's all about. It started about getting us off the streets into their institutions to rebuild the economy that they lost during slavery, and then it graduated to a business. Now it's all business. They don't care who they throw away as long as they're making business. Like, jails are required to be filled even if nobody is committing a crime. Like, that's how crazy it is. But white people refuse to see this, and it's kind of unsettling because the evidence is right here in your face. This is not the only documentary that shows this type of behavior, shows these type of systematic oppressions, but people still refuse to see and understand our point of view of what we mean by when we take a knee during football games. Why do we see the importance to make movies like Birth of the Nation or these documentaries?
while we're in a state of mind and presence where we are now. And it's kind of ridiculous. It's like, it's getting to the point where I don't see hope for us at all, because if we could give you straight facts and you still say that basically you don't give a damn, it's like, I only see one way out. What about you?
Well, you know, like, I watched the movie as well, and it was real interesting. You know, I already knew how corrupt the prison system was, and I also know the goal of the prison system. You know, one thing, like, a lot of people don't seem to understand is how far these people are willing to go to make money on the backs of black people and poor people. And, you know, they do this. They've been doing this for years. And like you was talking about with the prison system, you know, the private prison system has to negotiate with the state before the private prison system can open. And they negotiate how filled this prison system must be at all times. And if this private prison system isn't filled to a certain percentage, the private prison system can sue the state for breaking the agreement. So you have to think about, once again, if the state don't want to get sued by the private prisons, then the response is to lock up as many people as they can so they can keep this negotiation current. And when you just break that down even further, when it goes to having to throw people in jail, throughout history, we've always been the target of that plan. And, I mean, people have to also understand, like, when slavery was, you know, so-called disbanded, you know, how much money economically the country lost of free labor. You know, they was making millions and trillions of dollars off of the infrastructure we built, off the crops, off of just everything that we did, and that suddenly came to a halt. So what they did was they put, you know, in this Constitution that you know, we have to praise and people act like it's no flaws in, they have it worded that you can still be a slave if you are in the prison system. This is not anything making up. This is in the Constitution. You have no rights if you are in the prison system, which allows them to get free labor off of you and force you to work for JCPenney and all these other companies who also know as well, but they don't care because they're making a profit off your cheap labor. So, I mean, it's not that hard to really see. It's just if you want to open your eyes and see it, the system is rigged against minorities and poor people, mostly minorities. We've always been the higher number as far as, like, you know, people being incarcerated ever since slavery ended. When slavery ended, they didn't just let us walk in the streets and fill out for jobs and everything like that. They created laws around locking black people up, and that's where you see the discrepancy in the numbers of black people always going to jail more than white people. It's not that we commit more crimes. It's not like we have some type of criminal gene within us. It's we're operating in a system that's specifically targeting us in the things either we like to do or the things we're forced to do because they took everything out of our communities. And when you take stuff out of communities, then you create chaos. And when you create chaos, you make laws around those chaos, that chaos that you created, instead of actually fixing the problem. Then it's when you get the discrepancy and percentage and on how many black and brown and poor people are going to jail.
Yeah, man. It also gets into, that's what I'm saying, this movie gets deep into the tactics, you know what I'm saying? People think black people just like to bellyache. Like, man, they messing with me. You know, so no, you're not. They ain't mess with y'all, man. Y'all are just doing wrong. Like, no, it breaks down the tactics of how laws come about, specifically designed to keep us in jail and the harsh penalties, like the war on drugs. Like, crack was literally invented in a lab, and there's several, like, they admit it, like, the CIA has openly admitted on paper to funneling crack cocaine to poor black neighborhoods intentionally. So once we get the crack and it spreads through the black communities through the country like a virus, now this destructive drug is a problem. Now you can go back to the drawing board and say, hey, crack, the penalty for crack is going to be 10 times worse than the penalty for cocaine, because cocaine was a rich man's drug. Cocaine is expensive. You know, only rich people did cocaine, white people. So we're going to give you, if you get caught with cocaine, we're going to give you probation. But if you get caught with crack, your butt is gone. You're going to get 10 years for a third, for just a small piece of crack cocaine, even though most likely you're going to be a user, and we're not going to give you rehab. We're not going to give you a chance. We're not going to give you probation. You're going to go to prison. You know what I'm saying? Thanks to Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan and Bill Clinton and Richard Nixon.
And, you know, so, staying on topic, man, that's what made me so upset. You know, when I watched the first debate, you know, not to switch over to politics or anything like that, but to watch, you know, Hillary Clinton say she's going to, like, demand changes on mandatory minimums and stuff of that nature. It's like you and your husband was the one that brought the shit up. With full knowledge that it was going to incriminate more black people. Like
He apologized for it.
Yeah, so I mean, to hear her sit there and act like, you know, she had nothing to do with it, like, it was disgusting, man. And they also talked about it in that movie, if you remember, you know, when they was saying how the government came for certain people, as far as, like, I don't know if I'm pronouncing the sister's name right, but, like, Asada Shakur and different people in our communities. Yeah, like, I mean, they chased these people or killed these people out. And that's why the leadership, the black conscience at that time was at a rise. You know, we was starting to come together. Everybody knew that the system was against us. We did want to attack politicians for the things they've done. And the people that was leading those movements, they either killed them, they either planted something on them, or they tried to lock them up. And in this case, they ran them out of the country.
Yeah, she's still in Cuba right now. She's still alive.
So, I mean, these are things we're dealing with. And then they act dumb to the fact that we have no leadership, or things got out of control, or a lot of the times black people don't know what direction to move at once. And the reason behind that is because every time you had a conscious black person who gained the steam and the support and was a threat to the system, they sent the FBI on them.
Uh-huh.
They didn't send police. They didn't send, you know, just persons on the come. They sent the FBI on them to break them up.
Yeah, King was allegedly the most dangerous man in the country, according to the FBI. You know, and he was nonviolent. You know, that's what they do. They make you an enemy if you don't believe in what they believe in. It's just like they do in Kaepernick. They make you an enemy and talk crazy about you like you just making up problems about your people. Like, I'm just taking the need to be a troublemaker for no reason, y'all. Never mind me. You know, everything perfect. You know, even though I'm getting paid millions of dollars to play football, I know that ain't nothing going on with black people. And they, you know, I'm just start trouble for no reason, y'all. I'm just taking knee and sacrifice millions of dollars of my career and my potential future in the NFL and just take this knee as a respectful protest after I talk to a U.S. Army veteran. Instead of me sitting on the bench, I'm going to take a knee to be more respectful of Kaepernick, but they mad at him. That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody's mad at him for standing up for something he truly believes in based on factual evidence. But every time you ask, and they only ask, like I said, they only ask middle-aged or old white men who can't see past their love for a country who obviously they've reaped the benefits from. So when you ask them, oh, I love my flag, I love my song, I love my military. Like, no song, the words from the Star Spangled Banner hasn't came and hung us. They don't throw us in jail for Star Spangled Banner. The military didn't kill our ancestors, does it throw us in jail or give us crack cocaine. You know what I'm saying? The American flag itself didn't jump down from where it was from and hang us by itself. We're not mad at those things. It's not about that. We're mad about a system specifically designed ever since slavery was supposedly abolished to hold us back and keep us from having equal opportunities and living peaceful lives like you. And to support this evidence, I'm serious, and to support, you gotta talk to them slow because they act like they slow. To support this claim, these are the factual evidence that can be proven by your government and our government as confirmation. Example, the CIA admitting to creating crack and giving it to specifically black neighborhoods. They could have gave it to Beverly Hills. They could have gave it to the OC, to the white folks, but they came to South Central Los Angeles specifically. They admitted.
I mean, just look at it like this, right? So, you know, since when we actually label things how it's supposed to be, a lot of the times, you know, people think they were just lying or just complaining and stuff like that. So you can take a simple known fact as far as the KKK, right? Now, me, you, and Sid, we all know how the KKK operates. We understand that they can't stand black people. We know this. We all know this is factual. So then you take that fact and you combine it with the fact that the Department of Justice actually done research with different police forces around the country in 2015, and the Department of Justice published a report saying that a bunch of police forces are infiltrated with KKK members. And when stuff like this come out, nobody pays it any attention. Like, I mean, people just walk and read and gloss right over it. Like, this is clearly a problem that needs to be addressed. And it was addressed several times throughout with our government, where they would take over a police force for about 2 or 3 years and try to clear it out, and then they'll leave, and the same thing will happen again. But, I mean, these are clear instances where facts come out to where police forces around the country are being infiltrated with KKK members.
All right.
No one does anything about it.
Yeah.
So
they said,
what do you think will happen if the country's Department of Justice says that their Klan members in police uniforms and those same policemen get to stop people whoever they want? Like, 1 + 1 = 2. It's clear what's going to happen in that type of situation. And I would feel the same way if it was some type of black nationalist group who was infiltrating police forces. I would feel that that's wrong as well. But the empathy, as far as it turns to us, like, we don't get any credibility, we don't get any empathy, we don't get shit. We get to be doing something wrong, and we got to deal with it.
Yeah. You got dreadlocks, man. I don't like the clothes you wear, so you fit the description of somebody that's doing wrong. So I'm going to hem you up. You know?
I was told one time when I sat down, we wasn't like, you know, having a debate or anything, but I was having a conversation with a Caucasian male, And I was telling them how many times I got pulled over. And, you know, at this point, I had a car, had rims on and everything like that. And he told, I was like, well, what do you think is the reason that I get pulled over so much? And he was like, well, you fit a drug dealer's profile, the way you dress and the car you drive. And, you know, instead of just saying, like, yeah, you shouldn't be pulled over, it completely got turned to it's your problem because you have a car with the type of wheels that you want and you dress the way you want that I'm not comfortable with. And since I'm not comfortable with it, I'd rather perceive you as a drug dealer instead of you just, you know, not having the same outlook or being raised from the same community that I am that makes me comfortable. But that's mm-hmm. the type of shit that we deal with.
Yeah, man. So what the hell does a drug dealer look like? You know what I mean? Who made this imagery up? You know? Who labeled that as a drug dealer? You know, I'm pretty sure it wasn't one of us. You know, it had to be one of them.
If you really want to find drug dealers, take your ass to the college campuses. Well, most of the campuses are about 60% white, 60-65% white. You'll find a bunch of drugs, bunch of underage drinking with the parties they have, all kinds of illegal shit.
Uh-huh.
But those
you
are not the problems that you're focusing on looking.
Exactly. Texas University on 6th Street, them white kids over there, literally catch the bus from 6th Street to their dorm rooms. Like, they know they getting fucked up. Instead of they working with them, they letting them blow off steam. You know what I'm saying? They got a shuttle bus to take them from the club to the dorm rooms. You know what I'm saying? Like, I seen that with my own eyes.
You could arrest them if they were black. You would arrest them for public intoxication.
Exactly. But they getting free rides, free condoms, free drugs. Like, just don't get pregnant and get no disease and we good, Like, come on, man. Like, it's always double standards, and that's what we tired of. Like, we didn't ask. Like, the biggest thing about us is, like, we didn't ask to be in this country, period. If you didn't want us here, you should have left our ancestors in Africa. Don't tell us to go back because we don't know where to go.
And you done drained our resources from Africa.
Exactly. I think Africa still has a lot of untapped resources, but that's another subject. But we would have had a lot more, pretty much the richest land in the world, period, has been drained by America and several other countries.
I mean, one of the richest resources you can have is gold. America,
yep.
You know, wasn't on the same stature as far as Africa with the gold that Africa had. They drained the resources of Africa, put sanctions on Africa.
Yeah, the biggest
reason. Oh, go ahead.
Gold is probably number two or number three resource. The biggest resource that was stolen from Africa was the people. You know, Africa, those Africans took the skills that they had for farming, and they used them in America to make these farms and build up the wealth for America. You know, when they was in Africa, like, people think Africa was jungles. No, Africa was not jungles and all that. It's just like that now because after they stole the people, nobody was there to maintain the landscape. You know, but we used the same rules of farm, with the same techniques of farming and the same skills of irrigation, the irrigation systems and everything. We used those skills back in Africa to build up the economy over there. So once you take all these people with that knowledge and you take them out there at their country, you drag them halfway across the world, and they're natural born survivors. So yes, they're going to use their skills to survive,